Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And this morning, it's Monday morning post Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, and I'm joined by my producer, Danny McPherson, to talk a little Super Bowl commercials and the big game and just all the money behind the NFL's biggest night of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was a great game, so I'm sure there's a lot to talk about.
It was super exciting. For those of you who didn't watch, the Philadelphia Eagles won their first ever Super Bowl, though I think they won an NFL championship when it wasn't called the Super Bowl. So it's a big deal. The streets of Philadelphia were pretty rowdy last night. I don't know if anybody saw videos or anything, but
yeah, social media was kind of scary to look at. It looked like some like post-apocalyptic scene.
it was actually terrifying. Like cars being flipped, stuff on fire, people like jumping off of 20-foot poles, people tearing down street poles. It was actually terrifying.
Well, they tried with the what was it, like motor grease or something. I don't know. You know, they tried so many different things.
But Crisco. It did not work. And the big winner of the game being so good, because it ended up being the Eagles won 41-33 against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the much hated Patriots for most people. But it was, you had to watch all the way till the very end, because Brady threw a Hail Mary with basically no time on the clock, and that could have tied the game. But it was, so that's good for advertisers, that's good for NBC, and it's really good for football fans and even not football fans, because it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think even non-football fans were enjoying it. I mean, it was just a good expedition of everything across the boards, defense, offense.
I mean, there was one punt in the game. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was just nonstop, like,
so
throwing
many yards
passing
for
football.
Those quarterbacks. I mean, Foles was up at like 300-400.
Brady like was 500 yards.
Over 500, first quarterback to ever lose with that many yardage. So
and that's in the history of the NFL, not just the history of the Super Bowl. That's crazy.
I mean, that's massive. So
So but last night is the most expensive night on television. It's the biggest night on television. Over 100 million people tune into the Super Bowl every year, and the NFL's ratings are down again this year, but it doesn't really matter because TV's going down in general. So the NFL's ratings are down, which isn't a really big deal, as people are making it seem. Like, they're down 9.7% this year. They averaged about 15 million people. So last year they averaged about 16.5 million people, and the playoff games were, the ratings were down this year as well. The conference championship games were down 8%, but they still 43.2 million people are tuning in. So the NFL product itself is still a big, big money maker, and eyes are always on it. And last night was the biggest, it's the biggest thing for advertisers all year. This is what people are talking about mostly today. Like, if you don't care about football, you're tuning in to watch the halftime show and the ads all night long. I mean, I know that's why a lot of people I know watch the game.
It's also the biggest sick day today. Everybody calls off. I heard that on the radio. I thought that was hilarious that, you know, half the people that are actually watching the game say, no work for me today. So good, kudos on us for showing up.
Yeah, right. I think actually Mucinex, so that medicine company, had a commercial in the game that was about, like, call in sick tomorrow when you're not actually sick and use Mucinex, basically, or something goofy like that. But yeah, so a little bit more about the nitty gritty of the commercial. Last night on NBC, a 30-second ad spot cost just over $5 million. So if you're running a longer ad, which a lot of these companies do, that's going to cost you more than $5 million.
And multiple times, of them on multiple occasions.
Oh, so totally. And it's been about $5 million for the last 3 years or so. And then, for a little perspective, in 2008, the ads for a 30-second ad, it cost $2.7 million. So it's up over 80%. But when you put it into perspective of like what other big events advertisers are like paying money for, the Game 7 of the World Series in 2016, the average cost of an ad was $500,000. The Oscars, which is the second, so the most watched things on television every year are the Super Bowl, like over 100 million people, then the Super Bowl post-game show, and then the Academy Awards are a distant third normally, or around third or the first non-football event, and that's like 40 million people, and that cost $2 million. So these advertisers are paying a lot of money, but it's because so many people are watching this game, and it's going to basically drive the conversation for the next month or so, and that's where you get everyone watching this, because that's the only thing people are watching live anymore. Like, everyone tuned this in, turned this on last night to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be the next, the What's Up commercial from Bud Light. You know, they want to be that iconic brand that makes something so silly that you can't stop talking about it. And by the end of the day, you end up buying their product for whatever reason. So,
yeah, exactly. And so, like, historically, some of the biggest ad spenders on Super Bowl night are beer companies and automotive companies that kind of showed up last night. From 1995 to 2017, Wall Street Journal did a little expose about who are the biggest ad spenders, and Anheuser-Busch InBev has spent $533 million in the last basically 20 years or so advertising just on Super Bowl, like just those Super Bowl ads. PepsiCo was second at $326 million, and then Fiat Chrysler, General Motors, Coca-Cola rounded out like the top five. So that's just, so Anheuser-Busch InBev is just pumping money, but really like $5 million, and that's not even including, so that's $5 million just to run the ad. Mm-hmm. Then they have to pay these celebrities, pay for the production costs. So they're spending, pay for their advertising company to do this. Maybe they're spending $10 million on one ad.
Yeah, I'm sure something around that. Because I was talking about that the other day. It's insane the amount of money they spend on the ad alone. But then, like you just said, you have to go pay these actors. You have to pay the film crew. You have to pay for the distribution. I mean, there's so many background expenses. So these companies are seeing a benefit to this. And I think it's because the fans that watch this Super Bowl event are so engaged. And it's an event like no other, you know. How many times are people watching a sporting event and also being, you know, engaged with commercials? Like, people don't want to walk away from the TV because they're afraid they're going to miss that one awesome commercial or that one big play during the game. So there's so many things drawing them there. So I think it's a big part of why advertisers keep coming back is the engagement. So
yeah, I completely agree, Danny. Like, there's no other time you're really watching a game, especially, that's when you do get up. You get up during the commercials because that's just when you don't have to be paying attention. But yes, most people are not ever leaving the couch. They're just there from the start at kickoff. I mean, I think I started watching at like 4 around then. The game started about 5:30 or so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why these advertising these companies are spending all this money to advertise, because it's something that people are watching, and it's just become ingrained in the game that it's the commercials and the game and the halftime show just all wrapped into one big, huge commercialized event that the NFL benefits from, the host television network benefits from, and all these advertisers benefit from, because
it's a cash cow. Yeah. It just, I mean, generates money.
So yeah, Anheuser-Busch pays $10 million for an ad, but that is like a minuscule part of their ad budget for the year. It's mm-hmm. not like this is making these companies go bankrupt. I mean, a company like Anheuser-Busch InBev probably has like a $200 million or maybe even $1 billion advertising budget for the year across like everything, social media, everything. So this is a really tiny portion of their
budget. I'd imagine it's a drop in the bucket for them.
And like you said, that it's now these ads are coming out sometimes a little bit before the game, so they're getting a little buzz on social media.
Well, I noticed this year what they did was kind of give teasers. They would show like a climax in the commercial where something funny or crazy was going to happen. Like, I saw a lot of that on Instagram or Facebook, and then you kind of wanted to see what was going to happen. I mean, it was definitely something that got me and won me over. So the advertisers are doing a really good job of releasing things early, but yet still keeping you engaged and wanting to watch the rest of it. So
like little teasers work, and then it builds you up. You're talking about it before the commercial even comes out, so then you're anticipating it. So then, like you said, you don't want to leave. You don't want to go to the bathroom. You don't want to get up and get something. You're just like, hey, I don't know exactly when this ad's going to run. I want to see the whole ad. Mm-hmm. So that helps draw you in. And then also, after the game's over, all of these ads then just live on YouTube in social media for forever. I was reading something that now I forget one of the big the guy who was actually in those one of the Tide ads last night who did ads for that men's soap company. Now I'm Old Spice. Yeah. Those ads where they were like really weird and he was like riding a horse and just all those strange things like have racked up like 500 million views on YouTube afterwards. Yeah. And it's just in people tuning in to search on YouTube for an advertisement when normally you're trying to skip through ads and now they're Googling, I want to watch this ad on TV.
Yeah, and kudos to Tide. I mean, they killed it. I mean, I was... to be honest, when I woke up and was like thinking about this and kind of preparing, I couldn't think of any other ad other than Tide. Tide ad. I mean, it was stuck in my head. Tide ad. I can't get over it.
The Tide ads were really good. I think they ran maybe 5 different spots, and it was so clever because at first you have no idea what's going on. So they used David Harbour, I think is his name. He's from Stranger Things, some other movies you might have seen him in, but people know him a lot from the Netflix show Stranger Things. And it was just sort of all the making fun of all these cliches of other commercials. And then it would just be like, this is a Tide ad because all the shirts are clean. Like there was one where this older lady was playing tennis and then she grabs her back and it looks like a cheap, I don't know, pain medicine commercial. And then he just pops on screen like, look at how white her shirt is.
Tide ad.
So yeah, that's...
And look at us. We're doing the advertising for them right now. So it's insane that... How good they did!
Yeah,
man.
So
applaud you, Tide.
Procter and Gamble owns Tide, so that they were a big winner. That was one of the. I had a little list of some ones that stood out to me. The Tide one was the number one on my list. Yeah. They ran a ton of it. They're a big NFL partner in the first place. And then another couple that stood out. There was the PepsiCo one that was for Doritos and Mountain Dew, where it was like Peter Dinklage, the guy from Game of Thrones, and then Morgan Freeman were like rapping, but it was Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott. That was one that they did a lot of like.
They're like lead faster, up. faster. Yeah.
That was really interesting to me. That stood out.
That was one they did a tease on too. I saw that on Instagram.
There was lots of teases for that one because and then the Amazon Alexa one, they did some teases for that. That was like where she lost her voice, and then they had like Anthony Hopkins and Rebel Wilson and Cardi B sort of fill in as her voice.
Yeah, I remember that. That was funny because that got me. I wanted to see what they were going to do when she lost her voice, so that was pretty good.
And Jeff Bezos himself was in the ad. So maybe he made his acting debut. I can't say that I've read his IMDb page.
I actually asked myself how many people knew that was Jeff Bezos sitting there in front of everybody.
Yeah, for anyone who saw the ad, it was the bald guy that they ask at the beginning, what do we do? Alexa's voice is gone. But to me, it was actually... After I was done watching it and I was thinking about all of the good commercials, the Alexa one kind of stood out as a little creepy. When you think about at the end, Anthony Hopkins, this girl says like, oh, call Brad or something. And he's like,
oh, he does Brad. A Hannibal voice.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, Brad can't come to the earth. And you're just like, actually,
well, that's the line from the movie when he picks up and he's like, you can't come to the phone right now.
When you think about it, though, all these people are talking to Alexa at all times. It is, when you think about it, I don't know if Amazon necessarily wants to promote service is when you think about it. But moving on, that was a good one. Another one that had a big teaser, which wasn't a company, it was... Visit Australia, the one that had Danny McBride and Chris Hemsworth, the Thor, they did a big teaser where it was supposed to be like a Crocodile Dundee remake.
I thought I was going to watch like a comedy movie.
I know, and I love Danny McBride. And yeah, they did a lead up on Instagram and YouTube and sort of come watch this trailer for the new Crocodile Dundee movie. And then you see the ad on Super Bowl Sunday and it's just it's a commercial to Visit Australia.
Yeah, they even stop and they're like, wait, what are we doing? This is a movie?
Yeah, so that one was another really good one that used social media to sort of draw some buzz and pump out just content before the actual event. So that one definitely got me. Some of the big sponsors though, who, Super Bowl 52 on NBC was brought to you by Mass Mutual, who had actually the first huge, big, long ad. Pizza Hut, Kraft, U.S. Bank, Sprint, Stella Artois, the Han Solo movie. So that's Disney. That was another one of the trailers. There was a bunch of movie trailers. The Han Solo one debuted on Super Bowl Sunday. It looks good. Who knows? The newest Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, they also had some rendition of the old one when what's his name?
Oh yeah, Jeff Goldblum, the Jeep. Yeah, there was a bunch of Jeep ads. So those were interesting.
Those stuck in my head. Yeah.
Yeah,
only because they used Jeff Goldblum though.
There were a lot of celebrities. I have a list somewhere of all the celebrities that appeared. So you had Bill Hader, who's been in a bunch of stuff. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. He was in a Pringles ad. You had Chris Pratt, who's now a pretty big movie star, Guardians of the Galaxy, Jurassic Park, everything.
Eli Manning.
He
was so great to see them. I'm a big Giants fan, so to see them at least partake in the Super Bowl.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought that up, Danny, because
the dancing was fantastic.
That was actually probably my favorite ad.
It was hilarious.
And good for the NFL because it was all basically promoting now that they're allowed to celebrate in the end zone. You can have a team celebration, whereas before it was no celebrating, the no fun league. So good on the NFL to say, hey, we're going to be able to have fun again. It's football. It shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it
trying to boost those ratings. Yeah.
And the ad was really funny. I mean, it was good. That's one when as soon as the game was over and I was scrolling through Instagram, that was everywhere in my feed. For those of you who didn't see it, it's Eli Manning for the New York Giants, the quarterback, and Odell Beckham Jr., one of the biggest players in the NFL, most famous wide receiver. And
he does the turnaround and he waves them on to come on, and he just looks at him like, here I come.
Yeah, they're reenacting a scene from Dirty Dancing. So it was just absolutely hilarious. So thanks for bringing that up. I had that in my notes to talk about that. That was absolutely hilarious one.
Yeah. And there was a few, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there were definitely a few commercials that weren't, I guess, specifically trying to make you buy a product. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still getting subconsciously in your head. So
there were
some really clever stuff going on. And it's almost hard to remember them all because there's so many of them at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I know Stella did, they did the one with Matt Damon. So that was another celebrity that's promoting if you buy Stella, or maybe it's even a glass that Stella sells. They help give water to people who don't have it, specifically in Africa they were talking about. So that's one of the things where they're not saying buy Stella necessarily. They're saying if you buy Stella, if you already drink Stella, like, we're helping people out, which is interesting as well.
Hey, man, water is a big problem. So for them to do that is a big thing.
Exactly. And then, there were some other ads promoting just sort of social awareness things like that. And one that actually, I guess, is going to have a little bit of controversy. I only read it a little bit last night, and that was Dodge used Martin Luther King speech. And I guess his family's organization, right after it aired, tweeted out, hey, you didn't ask our permission. So that could end up being a problem for
that.
Dodge.
Wow.
So I'll have to check it out later today, but that can't be a good thing right away for Dodge if you didn't ask permission to use a speech. I don't know the rules on that kind of stuff.
I mean,
but
great timing, Dodge.
Yeah, exactly. So probably, that's not the best. The Universal Studios with Eli Manning's brother, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. There was just a lot. There was a lot of good ads. Budweiser, who's a Anheuser-Busch InBev, they're always a big advertiser. And they did a social awareness kind of.
Yeah, with the water as well for all the hurricanes that happened. So everybody's trying different ways to kind of get in your head. One thing I did want to say is kind of, I wonder how this is going to affect Facebook. I mean, with all these ads that went out and all the teasers that they had to put out, I mean, you got to think there's a lot of revenue being pushed through these social media outlets that we might see a big benefit towards, in the next coming quarter. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. And if you didn't watch the game and there was a lot of calls to action last night in the ads, Watch the full ad on our website or go to our Instagram page to do more.
Engage.
Yeah, it was. So that's definitely something all of these companies are doing, is encourage you to do something actively. Go find us on Facebook. I think it was, who was the company that right off the bat, one of their, it was Kraft. So another big company, Kraft, said in the first half, tweet us your pictures of what you're doing for the Super Bowl, and then we're going to air it in the second half of the game with just fans' pictures. And who knows if that's actually what they did, but they did run the ad with just selfies of families at home. Maybe that's older pictures, who knows, but that's something where they're saying, engage with us. We want to have a little give and take with our audience or our customers or whatever you have.
Yeah. So I guess it's not all about being the big and best crazy commercial, you know? So there's other ways of in getting our attention.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. All you want to do is basically have people talking about you the next day.
Yeah. And it works. I mean, look at us right now. We're kind of obsessing over these commercials.
Yeah, you just want people talking about you the next day, no matter what. And thinking back about it, off the top of your head, yes, I think of Tide. I think of the Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr. ad. I think of the Amazon Alexa. I think of maybe some of the movie trailers. Nothing else really, really, really stands out. And I feel like that's how it kind of happens every year, is a couple just stand out and then the rest sort of go to the wayside, which...
I mean, you also had that awesome halftime show that kind of stole away from a lot of the advertisers. I will admit I enjoyed myself watching that. I haven't watched a Super Bowl halftime that actually was fun to watch in a long time. So, and he made his comeback. I mean, he had a terrible experience the first time around. Everybody knows that story. We won't go down that route, but you know, he did a great job. So,
yeah, Justin Timberlake did a really solid. Yeah, it's the Pepsi halftime show, and then it's the Toyota halftime. So those were the two big sponsors of halftime. So
Toyota, I feel like, kept getting washed away though by the other sponsors. Like they were there, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, Toyota's not really doing much of the sponsoring.
Toyota, and they had some pretty cool ads. They did a lot of future looking beyond cars, kind of. It was, we want to be a movement company, we want to help people, and then they showed older people. And
yeah, we're not just a car company, you know, we want to innovate and change the future type.
Yeah, so yeah, like you said though, that is interesting because I almost forgot about that. I mean, I have it in my notes here.
Thank
now
goodness
that I'm looking
I brought
at
up
it.
the halftime show, because they were the big sponsors for that.
Yeah,
stuff.
They the Justin Timberlake, even they. A big company, some of you might not have noticed this, but I'm not a big sneaker guy by any means, but I follow Justin Timberlake and Jordan Brand and Nike on Instagram. And right before halftime, Justin Timberlake puts out this Instagram message or post of him putting on his Jordans, his brand new Jordans that are Justin Timberlake sort of just for the Super Bowl, and they had a little limit release. They already sold out. So every single thing you're seeing, even though you might not think of it as an advertisement during the Super Bowl, it's all just brand promotion at all times. So even the halftime show, which was good, and then they have commercials, and that's maybe the most expensive commercials of the night because they vary a little bit. It's because no matter what, the biggest audience is most likely going to be for halftime because those are the people that don't even care about the game are watching that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still a bunch of regional and local commercials that get put on, and I can't imagine them paying the $5 million. I would imagine there's different rates depending on, you know, how big of an audience you're going for. So, I saw some local banks here in Chicago. So there's definitely different tiers. There has to be, I would imagine. I can't see these small companies shelving out that big budget.
I think they do have... NBC or whoever is doing the game that year must set aside a little time for local television spots because, yeah, I saw a few local TV spots. So you'll see the local NBC station sort of advertise.
Which is huge for companies. I mean, that's a big step. They don't get that. They probably don't even advertise on TV other than that one time. Yeah. I mean, it's like, why would we when we can just grab everybody? Because everybody's watching the game.
Yeah,
everybody's sitting in front of the TV.
And for anyone, I mean, NFL ratings are down, like I mentioned before, and linear television is kind of going by the wayside, and YouTube Live or YouTube TV was a sponsor of sort of the intro show, so that was a big thing. YouTube TV, a lot of people probably didn't even know what was going on before that, so they're advertising during the Super Bowl like, hey, spend $40 a month and watch live TV on YouTube. So that was a big deal. And then another thing.
Which is weird because you're watching it on cable.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So like NBC is like, hey, whatever, you can watch us on YouTube TV.
Very and then true, yeah.
Another future looking thing was Netflix. So they promoted their new movie, Cloverfield something. I forget what it is. The Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah, and something weird.
It was a commercial. I hadn't been looking into this movie at all. I never really saw the first one. And then, so there was a commercial for it, and then you could stream it right after the game. So that was something that Netflix is really using the Super Bowl to...
I had no idea you could do that.
Yeah, so they aired the commercial, and then right after the Super Bowl ended, you could watch it on Netflix. So that is really interesting.
I would be curious to see how well that worked.
Yeah.
Or how many people actually were like, oh, I'm not going to go to work, so I'm going to watch this movie.
Exactly. So that's something that... pretty innovative for YouTube TV and Netflix to do that during the Super Bowl, because just there's too many people watching to not be in on the Super Bowl, and it's just going to get bigger because it's still one of the few things people are actually wanting to tune in live.
Yeah, it's
on
still
TV.
The biggest event on TV every year. It's like at some point, do you think anything will ever surpass it? I don't personally.
At least not
in America.
In the foreseeable future. Like no. I can't imagine it. So the advertising spending's always going to be there. It's only going to go up. I mean, in 5 years, it could be $10 million in ad.
Yeah, and these what did companies you say? It was 80% in the past like 3 years?
And these companies aren't going to blink an eye. It's just going to be like, okay, that's the cost of doing business. There's no one else is watching TV anywhere. This is where we're going to spend our TV money.
Yeah, I'm sure that's allocated in the beginning of the year. Every year they're like, well, we have to set aside the Super Bowl budget, so...
Yeah, and so sort of to wrap it up, NBC used the last big ad of the night to promote their next big event, which is the Olympics, and that is another thing that every 4 years for the actual winter or summer Olympics is a big television product. So NBC used that last little bit of ad space to not take any money from another company, but using it to promote their big 16-day event that they hope can set them up for a big quarter. So I want to thank Danny for coming on and talking a little about the game, but more about the commercials. And Super Bowl 52 was really fun, and some of the commercials were good, but at least we're talking about them, and that's what these companies want.
I think this year the game surpassed the commercials. It was a heck of a game to watch, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.